Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I was thinking the other day that I wish you were able to go into a store and get a pair of glasses that you put on that would enable you to see life as it really is. Not only the difficult things, but to see the eternal purpose of God for giving us life. God has revealed that to us in His Word. He has shown us the path to take. But as I said yesterday, we so often say, well, I like this path better, or I like this way or this approach better. Let your approach be what the gospel tells you. That's your approach. God knows you through and through. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He will pour forth His grace to help you to understand what is most important. He'll help you to look at your conscience. He'll help you to examine it. He'll give you the grace and peace you need to do that. When you become honest with yourself, there honestly is a way that the chains break, because we spend so much time, I think, trying to justify why we think the way we do or act the way we do. We try to justify it or explain it or excuse it or make it sound good, when in reality we're just living in sin. God wants to set us free. I don't mean that we'll be perfect this side of heaven, but He wants us set on a course where I can see the goal that I'm pursuing. I can sense it. I'm going for it. That's what I was made for, was eternal life with the source of all love. That's what I'm made for. So as you hear the readings this week, next week, pay attention. Ask the Lord to show you what's my dominant fault? What's my dominant area of sin? Is it pride? Anger? Jealousy? Lust? What's my dominant area where I sin the most? And take a look at the scriptures. Go to the concordance or the index at the back of the scriptures. Look up that word. Look up all the passages that concern that word. Pay attention. And God's living word will begin to work in your soul. I'd like to say a lot more, but we should take a look at the reading. So the first reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, and then 17 to 19. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Hear that. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations I appointed you. There he's speaking of Jeremiah himself. "But do you gird your loins. Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account." Prophet's role was not easy. Not easy at all. And he said, "Be not crushed on their account," as though I would leave you crushed before them. "For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Those who follow the Lord will protect. That doesn't mean we won't have hardship. It doesn't mean we won't have crosses to carry. We will. But through it all, He will be with us, and we will know His presence with us. Do you trust Him for that? The responsorial psalm, Psalm 71, "I will sing of your salvation. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me, deliver me, incline your ear, save me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety, for you are my rock and my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked, for you are my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth, from my mother's womb. You are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Until the present, I proclaim your wondrous deeds. Can you make that responsorial prayer your own? You can, you know. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be your disciple. I am your son. I am your daughter. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. I want to take on your priorities, your way of thinking. Help me. And then pray this. Pray that psalm. Pray it over every day for a while. Just pray that. It's a section of Psalm 71. Pray it. And watch how God's word becomes true in your own life. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 31. That's 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 31 till chapter 13 and verse 13. So chapters 12 and 13. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts. But I shall show you a still more excellent way. So we're always seeking after faith, hope, and love. Always. But I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. In other words, unless love for God and love for his people is at the root of your life, you come to nothing. Really. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In other words, I can do magnanimous things that can make people think I'm marvelous, but if I'm not doing it out of love, if I'm doing it in order to boast and say how wonderful I am, I gain nothing. So motive is important, and our motives are always mixed. But keep asking, Lord, help me to purify my motives. Help me, and he will. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not pompous. It is not jealous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. Ooh, that's an important one. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, that is Christ, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love, another translation says they abide. That's a much more, to me, a dynamic than remain. It, in one sense, it's the same, but another sense, so faith, hope, and love abide. That's what stays in us until, of course, we pull it out by the roots with our own sin. God can always restore it when we repent, but far better that we grow in faith and hope and love. And as we grow stronger and are able to fight off the temptations that come against faith, against hope, against love. The greatest of them, says Paul, the greatest is love. Does love reign in your heart? Are you really concerned about the eternal lives of your families, your parishioners, your workplace? All the people you encounter day after day after day, do you have their eternal good in mind? And are you living in such a way that people can come to know Jesus through you. You don't have to be a scripture scholar. You just have to be a dedicated disciple who continually asks God day in, day out for faith and hope and love and lives out of that. In the Gospel, Luke chapter 4, verses 21 to 30, Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph? I mean, where did he get all this?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Why are they so angry? Because he's speaking of the graces and blessings that were showered upon people who weren't Jewish, people who were of other races, people that they would have called pagans. But there was something so right in their heart, and they were seeking after what was right, while all the people who had been grown up, so to speak, as God's chosen people, they were every day in the synagogue. They fulfilled every letter of the law, but they did not have love for others. They did not have a desire to reach out and bring others to know him. They only were trying to make sure that they did everything right. And by golly, everybody else ought to do everything right. That self-righteousness that can come into us and destroy us, can destroy us. When the people in the synagogue heard this, because they understood what he was saying, they were all filled with fury. Now look what they did. They rose up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. He knew his time was not now. He just disappeared. Pay attention, brothers and sisters. Discipleship, following God, making sure that God is first in your life, will cost you everything, but it will give you even more. I know that sounds like a paradox, and it is, but it's true. Discipleship costs you everything. You take on the priorities of the gospel, things happen. The world's not happy with you. You're not, quote, successful as you hope to be. But if you put if you put every penny, so to speak, that you own and you place it on God, you say, "Here's my whole life, use me," you will find out that following God gives you even more, infinitely more, than the world could ever dream of. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.